Sleep training and how we approach sleep with our kids in general is a hot topic. Then bring that topic into a family where people might have different opinions and things can get tricky, especially with grandparents. The way my parents approached sleep and just the knowledge around sleep when I was little was so different than it is now. And working with families, I've seen firsthand the conflicts that can arise when parents approach sleep one way and grandparents think they should approach sleep another way. Or they just don't understand the why behind the schedules and routines. Or maybe the grandparents are caregivers and there's a disagreement in how sleep should be approached. That's why I'm excited for this episode today, as I have an open conversation with Dee Dee Moore, amazing grandma of More Than Grand. Hey there, I'm Lauren Engler, your fellow mom friend and pediatric sleep consultant of Via Graces. This is a place where you'll learn all the sleep tips and tricks so you feel equipped to navigate the ups and downs of your little one's sleep. You'll also get an inside look at our family's life as I share the real joys and tougher moments of parenting. So whether you're nap trapped, driving to daycare pickup, or you're enjoying a solo evening walk, my goal is for this podcast to be another reminder that when it comes to most things in parenting, all it takes is a plan and a whole lot of grace. I'm so glad you're here. All right, Dee Dee, I am so excited to have you on the podcast. I feel like this has been a very long time coming, but we are finally here. And I am very excited to learn more from you. I'm excited for others to learn more from you. So let's jump in and get started. Let's start off by just introducing yourself. Can you tell us who you are?
Absolutely. I'm excited too, first of all. Let me just get that out of the way. I'm Dee Dee Moore. I'm mom of four, grandmother of three, wife of one, and founder of More Than Grand.
I love that. It's funny. This is such an off question, but do your grandkids call you Dee Dee? I feel like that would be the sweetest.
They do call me Dee Dee. Yeah. It's a nickname that I'm just using publicly, but yeah, that's what my grandkids call me. That's what my younger siblings always called me. It's just what little kids have always called me. So,
okay. Well, it sounds like a really sweet grandma name. So I love that. Yeah. Okay. Well, so you run More Than Grand. Can you tell us more about it? How you started it? What do you do? How do you help us?
Excellent. Well, I started More Than Grand because when I became a grandmother and I looked for a website with resources for new grandparents, I couldn't find one. So I decided I should start one. And so I share resources and inspiration for new grandparents who understand that being a grandparent's really important and who want to really invest in their family. We cover all sorts of topics to help build bridges between generations. So we cover a lot of stuff about how to help new parents, ways to, you know, concrete ways to help new parents, understanding new trends in childcare, because so much has changed since we were grandparents. And also, you know, meaningful ways to connect with your grandchildren.
Yeah, I love that. Well, and you were just telling me that you FaceTime your kids, your grandkids every day for lunch and read them a story, which I just think is the sweetest idea. And I think, well, what I love about, so we connected on Instagram. What I love about following you, though, is I feel like for me as a mom, I learn a lot about how to interact with my kids' grandparents and how to help that relationship. But I also feel like my mom is not on Instagram, but if she was, she would also be able to learn a lot from you. So I think that's really cool. The way that you approach your teaching and just your platform is parents can be very helped by it, but also the grandparents, which I think is really unique. I'm really curious, when it comes to parenting and grandparenting, what areas of parenting do you find families struggle with the most, or what areas of grandparenting or kids and their parents have the hardest time reconciling when it comes to now, yes, I'm your child, but I'm also the parent of your grandchild. What areas do you find to be the hardest?
I think it's really hard for a lot of grandparents to make that shift from being in the authority figure, you know, the one that's, you know, that parent-child relationship changes massively when you become a grandparent. And grandparents often have trouble with that. But parents have trouble with it too. You know, it's very hard for a lot of parents to go to the grandparents and open a line of communication adult to adult. So that's the biggest thing is just learning how to communicate in this new relationship.
Yeah, that's interesting. Just like the shift in roles, right? Like something has changed and something hasn't changed, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Well, so then specifically with sleep, I'm excited to kind of dig into the world of sleep. Have you noticed any trends with like your fellow grandparent friends or with those families that you've worked with specifically regarding sleep and just kind of differing opinions or butting heads?
I think, you know, sleep is one of the big four areas of disagreement between parents and grandparents. And, you know, the other three are food, discipline, and screen time, which is not going to surprise anyone who's listening to this. And I think as far as sleep is concerned, grandparents are kind of flummoxed by the intensity with which parents today set and maintain a sleep schedule. You know, that we have trouble understanding sometimes how missing a nap or going to bed late one night is such a big offense to some parents that, you know, parents actually get angry with grandparents about those things. And having been, you know, when we were parents, there wasn't such an emphasis on, you know, keeping sleep as a the sanctity of sleep, which we all were not getting, by the way. But you know, it's really hard to understand how intense parents are about keeping those schedules now.
Yeah. And so what would you say, what was the norm? You're a mom of four. Hopefully you got some sleep raising those kiddos. But so what would you say the norm was for you as a parent with your kids? Was the term sleep training even a thing? I think kids were sleeping on their bellies. So what was the norm for you, your friends, when you were raising your kids?
Well, that actually even changed between my first child and my last one. So the recommendation to put babies on their back started in 1992, which was between my second and my third children, second and third child. So, you know, it's a lot of grandparents did raise their children with the putting their babies on the back. That's pretty more common than you would thought. But we had cribs with drop sides. You know, everybody used bumpers and blankets, and the crib was full of stuffed animals. And there was sleep training. The hot method was the Ferber method. And that was basically a variation of the cry it out method. But that was really it. There wasn't, you know, and that was not necessarily based on any research, right? We now have sleep training methods and methods that are based on research, which, you know, we didn't have.
Yeah. I know the classic story is I'm one of four, and my parents said I was the worst sleeper, which is funny to now be a sleep consultant. But I was a kid, they had to drive around for hours to go see the cows until I fell asleep. And I mean, I think it was just, my dad was like, the memories I have just sitting in a chair rocking you forever. Yeah. So I was definitely the problem one there. And sleep training, like they did not sleep train. That was not a thing for my parents at all. So now even you're mentioning that now, you know, sleep schedules and bedtimes and overtiredness, it's just much more discussed. People are more worried about it. So I'm curious now that you're a grandma, you said grandma of three, right? Yeah. So what has that looked like as you now, as grandma? I know that you, when you go visit, you're super helpful, very hands-on with the kids. So how has that been adjusting to kind of the sleep path that your kids have chosen for their kids? What's that adjustment looked like?
You know, it's been nothing but positive, to be honest with you. I mean, I spent over 10 years basically in one stage of sleep deprivation or another. So, So I love the options that parents have today. And, you know, when my son and his wife had their third baby, their toddler stopped sleeping, as often happens with a new baby. And it was during COVID, so I couldn't come help them. Mm-hmm. And I was the one that said, hey, did you know that there's this thing called a sleep consultant? And would you be interested in something like that? And it took them a little while because they're very much, we can do this. But after a few more, you know, a couple more weeks of no sleep, they said, okay, please help. So, and it, because I, you know, I would have flown out there to give them help if I could have, I couldn't do that. So I just spent the money on a sleep consultant for them instead. So
That's amazing.
I totally embrace everything that they've got. I think I mentioned to you on Instagram, I think the toddler clock is the best invention in the world.
It is.
And the time when I was taking care of my grandkids recently, you know, every morning we were woken up by, the clock is green. 7 o'clock sharp.
Yes. So. they sound like my kids. That's amazing. And because I remember sometime in our, you know, emails back and forth setting this up, you said, you know, oh yeah, I just put all three to bed. Do your grandkids respond well to you putting them to bed? I know some grandkids have a harder time. Has that worked out well?
I It works out great. And I think that that is because they have established such good sleep patterns and such good routines. And it's, they have always, I mean, even when I, you know, this last time I was visiting there, I was with them for quite some time, but even when I was only there for a few days, if I put them to sleep so mom and dad could go out to dinner or something, there was never an issue. And I think that that speaks to how well having a routine works, how well have, you know, knowing what the parameters are and exactly what's going to happen. So it's been amazing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I work with a lot of families who are like, I can't even imagine someone else being able to put my kids to bed. So I feel like this is too, it's possible, right? It's
just, it is having totally the possible. Have the routine, make sure the person doing it knows the routine. And, you know, it just, and it was, you know, it was great. There was one night I was putting my youngest granddaughter to bed, the 3-year-old, and I forgot a step of the whole thing. And she's like, you know, I can't remember what it was. Tell me a spooky story or close the closet door or whatever it was. It's like, so sorry.
She'll tell you how it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So when there's a routine and they know what the routine is, then, you know, you just have to follow the routine.
Yeah. Well, I love that too, because I think as a parent, I mean, my oldest is 6, so I've not been doing this forever, but like I've got 3 kids. My oldest is 6. I still have a hard time letting other people put them to bed. And it's not because they won't do it, but I think just as parents, there's this sense of control, or what if something goes wrong, or what if they forget to do X, Y, and Z. But I think the nice thing, I mean, hopefully with grandparents, there's a bond there, there's a connection there. So if they forget to shut the door, you know, your grandkid's just going to tell you if they're old enough to tell you, or, you know, I'm going to write all the notes down on a paper, but then I just have to walk away and trust that it's going to work out. And if it doesn't, it's one night and we still got to go out and our kids are going to survive, right?
Exactly. That is a hard thing for a lot of parents. And, and you know, to be able to trust that it's going to be okay.
Yes.
And, you know, to know that they're not going to be permanently damaged if they, you know, cry because you're not there.
Right.
It's all going to be fine in the end. And yeah, it's going to be okay.
Yeah. My youngest, especially, she's almost 17 months, but she still, whenever my mom puts her down, she screams for like maybe 30 seconds. It's quick, but it is a scream. And every time my mom is like, why doesn't she let me put her to sleep? Like, she is just making it known that she wishes it was someone else, but she falls asleep 30 seconds later and they play together all day long. But she's always like, why is it just me?
Exactly.
So we talk through that together. Well, so it's interesting because when I work with families, I've worked with quite a few families where the grandparents or other family members, of course, but specifically thinking grandparents, disagree with the idea of sleep training and they make it very known. Or oppositely, they're like, hey, you just got to lay the baby down and let them cry. They'll cry it out. They'll cry themselves to sleep. Kind of on either end of the spectrum of like, you can't sleep train, or you have to do it this one specific way. This is what we did. Or they completely disregard the schedules. They completely disregard the routine. And so I have some families who are like, we feel like we can't go anywhere. We can't get any help. Or maybe the grandparents are the daytime caregiver for the child. And so they feel kind of stuck of, this is the path we've chosen, but the grandparent is a really big role or just a really big voice in their ear. So that's always a really hard situation. So kind of 2 questions here. I'll ask the first one. What advice would you give to parents in that conversation of, we're just on kind of 2 opposite sides of the spectrum? How should a parent talk to their parent about that?
Well, if they're not, if the grandparents aren't a regular caregiver, it's different than if they are. So if it's someone who is not regularly caring for your child, you know, and it could be a grandparent, an aunt, whatever, and they have a very strong opinion about something, I think the best thing to do is just nod and say, That's a good point. And then just move on, right? Do not try to convince them to you. Smile and nod, right? don't waste your energy trying to convince them of something that they are just not going to be interested in being convinced about. Save it for something that matters more, right?
Yeah.
And again, it goes back to that. If they're just going to be taking care of your child one night while they're in town and you're going out to dinner, the child doesn't sleep, nobody's going to be permanently damaged by the grandparents letting them stay up and watch, you know, another 40 episodes of Bluey. So
yes.
But you know, the night out is probably worth it.
Yes.
But if the grandparents are regular caregivers, it's a different story, because you really need to be on the same page. And I think that the key there is to start a conversation by listening to the grandparents. So say, you know, point out something that you're grateful for them doing, you know, even just it is so helpful to us that you can take care of Jack every Tuesday and Thursday. I mean, it just is such a big break for us and financially and everything else. But it seems like you're having trouble getting him down for his naps. Can you tell me more about what's going on there? And so let the grandparent lead the conversation, listen to what they have to say. That way they don't have to go on the defensive, right? Because if you start off by saying, I'm really, really upset that Jack is not getting his naps when he's with you. Like, I really need you to follow the schedule. That's a whole different, you know, conversation. They're immediately going to be defensive, right?
Right.
You're much more likely to get to a solution if you're working towards one together. You need to, you know, try to, you know, be really careful with the words you choose and how you present it and the mood that you're in, right? Don't start talking about this when you're already annoyed with them about something, right?
Right. Or slept 2 hours last night.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that's the key, is to make it a team effort to figure out how to do it together. And, you know, maybe grandma's got a really good reason why Jack is not taking his naps at the same time you want him to. So then what you need to do is figure out, okay, well, what do we need to adjust so that the days that he's over there, he gets the sleep that he needs, right?
Yeah. I love that. Asking questions and making it a we conversation rather than coming in with like guns a blazing. This is what has to happen.
Exactly.
It's interesting because my oldest is the reason I became a sleep consultant. First 10 months of her life were really hard in the realm of sleep. And my mom was very hands-on, very helpful with us. So she was kind of right in that struggle with us, holding her for so many naps, you know, letting me go back to bed when she had a really hard night of sleep. And when we had our second, I had just become a sleep consultant. And so I was, you know, we were doing lots of things differently. And there were times where she did not push back, but she would be like, wasn't she just taking a nap? Why is she taking a nap again? Or, oh, can't we just do X, Y, and Z? Or, you know, let's try to put the warm thing into her bed, whatever it looked like. And I would just kind of explain to her like, yeah, this is what we did before, but this is what I've learned. And you could tell at first she was like, okay, this is just different. She wasn't not on board, but she wasn't gung-ho or excited. But then within a couple of months, when she saw the night and day difference it was between my second and first, I mean, she was like, all right, what are the awake windows? What time is her nap? And again, with my third, it was like, all right, so I'm going to shush her. I'm going to pat her. Like, she was ready to go. And so it was just kind of that transformation of like, she was in it, in the sleeplessness with us at first. None of us really knew what to do. Second child, she wasn't quite sure of what we were doing, but quickly saw the transformation. And now she's like, everyone needs to know about this, you know, sending classes to all of her friends whose kids are having babies. So we didn't have a hard conversation ever, but we just had that growth in relationship as we both kept learning more.
Absolutely. I think it's really great for grandparents to learn along the way with parents, right?
Yeah.
So I am a big advocate of parents sharing the social media accounts they follow, sharing the websites that they go to for information, sharing, you know, books that they've read with the grandparents so they can be on the same page, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot to have to educate the grandparents about everything you're learning. So, you know, lean on some of those sources that you're learning from and share those with grandparents so that they can see that you're not just making this stuff up.
Right. Right. And then you don't feel like you have to be the teacher all the time. I love that.
Right.
So then kind of the second part of that question where parents, grandparents might be disagreeing, and maybe it's kind of the same answer, but I'm curious. So let's say a grandparent is coming to you. Hey, Didi, my daughter wants to sleep train. I can't believe it. Or, hey, Didi, they don't want to sleep train. They're co-sleeping and I just want to tell them how to do it. What advice would you give to the grandparent for approaching their child with that?
Don't.
All right.
Really, like, you know, there are a million ways to parent, and there are a million ways to parent right. So you just have to accept as a grandparent that you don't get to make those decisions. If you see something that is dangerous enough so that if you saw a neighbor doing it or someone you didn't know doing it, that's a different story, right? Huh. If you see that your child is falling asleep smoking with the child on their chest, right?
Right, right.
You need to say something.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's really up to the parents to decide how they're going to do these things. And
yeah,
that's a hard, hard lesson for a lot of grandparents. It's a hard lesson for a lot of people. I mean, to know that you just need to back off on those things. Mm-hmm. Now, if you see them doing something that you're pretty sure it goes against, you know, current advice, it's okay to share some information with them. Like, hey, I just read this really interesting article and I this was all new to me. Have you seen this? Right?
Yeah.
So not like I think you should do this, but have you seen this? And, you know, that way you again are enlisting a third party to share that information rather than trying to change what somebody does.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. So hopefully, yeah, I'm excited for this to come out. So yeah, parents and grandparents alike can hear this. This is really helpful. Well, Dee Dee, you are a wealth of knowledge. Is there anything else you would like to share, specifically thinking in the world of sleep, parenting, grandparenting?
Oh my gosh. I think one of the things that I learned as a mom, I had my third baby after the internet came out and was part of a group of women when I was pregnant who were all expecting babies in the same month. So we had a forum that we all posted things on all the time. And up till then, the only other moms I saw were the ones in my family or close friends. So, you know, we all kind of did things alike.
Yeah.
And being part of this group of women from all over the world, the only thing we had in common was that we had internet connections and we were having babies in the same month. Seeing how they all parented so different, you know, all these ways that were in my eyes wrong, the things that, you know, that I would never have done that with my child, right? Mm-hmm. And watching as they all successfully raised their children was really great perspective for me.
Yeah.
And it really made me realize pretty early on in my journey that there are lots of ways to do things. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. Your kid's going to turn out fine in the end. So I think that the most important things for parents and grandparents to remember is don't chase the perfect, right? Don't try to find the perfect method of doing anything. You're just going to do what works best for you and your family at that moment. It may be different 6 months from now, right?
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Every season is absolutely going to be different, which I only know from 6 years of parenting. You know much better than me, but that's already been very true.
Yes.
No, I love that. Quick question. Are you still in touch with any of those ladies?
Yes, I am.
That's amazing.
Yes. And now we're becoming grandparents, but we migrated from a listserv to a Yahoo group now it's a Facebook group.
That's awesome.
But yeah, there's still about 45 of them that are still pretty active.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Isn't it amazing?
Really went through parenting.
We went through everything together. Yeah. Yeah. We did. Yeah. And I'm one of the fairly inactive ones. There's a group of about 15 or 20 that get together every year.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
That's so cool. Yeah. The amazing things that technology has opened up, right? And
absolutely.
I'm sure there's even crazier things out there now. Well, I love that. And so I try to end every episode with, okay, what's the plan here? And what's the grace here? So even just thinking from our conversation, I think when it comes to sleep and parenting and grandparenting, the plan is the parents get to make the plan and they might use lots of resources, including the grandparents, to make the plan. The plan on the grandparent side is listen to your child, watch them, come alongside them, sometimes keep your lips zipped, help them when you can. And the grace is sometimes it might be hard and sometimes it might be awkward. You may have conversations you didn't want to have, or you know, may not always see eye to eye. But I think, yeah, I mean, just thinking through, like, we're family, and now we're together for this precious baby or toddler or teenager, and they are more important. That relationship is more important than the method, the style, the right words, the right bedding, whatever it may look like. And we all just need to give ourselves lots of grace, because it's hard. Parenting is hard. I'm sure grandparenting is hard. And it's all so beautiful and cool that we get to do that together. Well, so Dee Dee, like I said, you are a wealth of knowledge, and I want everybody to know who you are. So how can people, if people are listening to this, like, yes, I need more help in the field of parenting, grandparenting, that connection, how can people connect with you? What resources are available to them? I would love to be able to share that.
Awesome. Well, I have a website, morethangrand.com. And our main offering there, besides a blog with a ton of information, is we have a comprehensive guide called New Grandparent Essentials, which gets new grandparents off to a great start in this role, which is so important. We also have something called Connection Sparks, which is just, it's like hundreds of ideas on how to connect with your grandchildren, whether they're brand new babies or even before they're born, all the way through their teenage years, whether you're close or from a distance. So that's a fun little gift for grandparents that parents can hook them up with to help foster that relationship.
Oh, I love that. And, so yeah, birthdays, Christmas, Mother's Day, I'm having a baby. Yep. Here you go.
Exactly. And I'm all over social media. It's at More Than Grand on Instagram and TikTok and Pinterest and Facebook. And
you're amazing.
All the places, truly.
Yes. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. So if you're a parent listening, know that these are resources that you can pass on to your parent. If you're a grandparent listening, resources you can gift yourself and start connections with your child. And yeah, I mean, I love that. More Than Grand. You can be an amazing, I don't even know what the word would be, but I love that. More Than Grand, the more than a grandparent. Well, Dee Dee, thank you so much. I'm so thankful we've been able to chat, and I can't wait for other people to be connected with you.
Thank you so much, Lauren. This was a delight.
If this episode has sparked some questions for your kids' grandparents, or maybe gives you the nudge to have a conversation with them specifically about sleep, we hope you feel more prepared, more confident, and more understanding as you do so. If you're curious to learn more about the many resources Dee Dee mentioned, head to the show notes to check them out. Even just following her on Instagram, you will learn so much. And if you're looking for resources about sleep to send to your parents so they have a better understanding of your approach to sleep or maybe your goals, our A to Z classes are a great place to start. You can find those at viagraces.com/classes or in the show notes as well. Thank you so much for listening.